Let's go ahead and take our Bibles this morning to 1 Kings chapter number 21. 1 Kings chapter number 21, we're going to pick up where we left off 2 weeks ago as we looked at the story of King Ahab and Jezebel, and then going to look a little bit in chapter 21, chapter 22. We're going to try to do something this morning that's we're going to try to bring two stories together. It's about the same individual, and it has the same application in both spots, and I think it's something that will kind of help us cement a point that I think God's showing us here in His Word. 1 Kings chapter number 21, to give you back, since it's been a few weeks, to give you a little bit of background, the story. We talked about 2 weeks ago, there was Ahab. He's a wicked king. He has done more wickedness, according to what the Bible was saying, than all the kings before him. And he has a very, very wicked wife that you're going to see here stirs up him in doing the things that are wrong. And as the story goes along, Ahab has been... God's been really merciful to him. You think about it, over and over, God has proved himself as being God and proved himself being strong to Ahab. And you think about it, Elijah came in on the scene and told Ahab it's not going to rain for over 3 years. And then the fire fell down at Mount Carmel. And then we see that, remember when God allowed Ahab's really, really little army to defeat the really big Syrian army on two different occasions by the words of the prophets. It had nothing to do about Ahab, had even things that he had done, and we've learned about over and over God's revealing himself to Ahab that I am the one true God, I am the mighty God. But Ahab's problem was that he was interested in worshiping false idols. He didn't believe in the one true God. He didn't believe in Jehovah. Well, as time gone along, God has been merciful to him. King Ahab is still a little spoiled, still used to using his position to bully people around. He asks Naboth for his vineyard. Naboth says no. He says, I can't sell that. That's God's heritage for me and for my family. In the message we preached a few weeks ago, we talked about things that are not for sale. We talked about how Ahab and Jezebel refused to accept that decision. And he began to refuse to sell the things that God had given him, not only for his own sake, but also because it was against the law, but also because he wanted something to leave his family. And the heritage that was there. Well, Jezebel finds out about it, and they end up having Naboth stoned to death. They hire a couple men in order to make lies about him and said he blasphemed God and he blasphemed the king, and they had a fast about it, and they ended up stoning him to death, and Ahab begins to take over the vineyard. He's all happy about it. And then the word of the Lord, it says, comes to Elijah in verse number 17, and that's where we're going to pick up there, is in verse number 17. It says, and the word of the Lord came to Elijah. So I want you to notice something here, and I want you to think about this and kind of put this in your memory bank, is, and the word of the Lord came unto Elijah. So what came unto Elijah? The word of the Lord. It wasn't his own opinions. It wasn't his own thoughts. It was God's word that's coming to Elijah and telling Elijah to do something. The title of this morning's message is, Am I Really Your Enemy? You know, Ahab looks at Elijah and thinks that he's the enemy. Ahab looks at, in chapter number 22, a prophet named Micaiah and says, I hate him because he never prophesies anything good about me. And he has a bad opinion, a wrong opinion of people who are telling him the truth. And the thought of this morning's message is, is someone who tells us the truth or someone who gives us the word of God really our enemies? And who really truly is our friend and who really truly is our enemy? I don't even remember much about the story or remember much about this TV show, but I know a number of years ago there was something called Friend or Foe, and I don't remember how it all really worked out, but I remember they had to guess if this person was really a friend or really a foe, and they would steal one another's money somehow or another, or they could keep the money that was combined. And here Ahab is confused. Who really truly is a friend and really who is a foe? Ahab, over and over, by a number of different prophets, was told about the one true God and to turn back and to do what's right. He chooses still, at the end of his life, to look at the man of God, Micaiah, who said, Ahab, if you leave and go out to battle, you're not coming back. He says, I hate that guy. He didn't say the things that he wanted him to hear. And here, and Ahab in this story, that really the truly friend was the one that was going to say, hey, you need to be careful here. Not the other 400 prophets we're going to look at that are false prophets saying, go, yeah, go up to battle. Everything's going to be great. You're going to win. You're going to come back. You know, they had one guy that was telling the truth. And that's the guy that Ahab hated. The idea of this morning's message is to really consider who our friends truly are. Now, sometimes we don't like when people tell us the truth. Sometimes we don't like to hear the truth, especially when it goes against what we're thinking or what we want to do. And in both these cases, we're going to see that he calls one man an enemy, and he tells a good king, hey, I hate that prophet because he never tells me what I want to hear. And sometimes in the day and time that we live in, people will go to churches, and they will look for places that are going to tell them what they want to hear instead of telling them the truth. I hate preachers that preach about this, and I hate preachers that preach about that, or I hate family members that talk about the truth. And I want us to really consider a little bit today about really truly who is our friends and really who is not really helping us in our lives. They might not consider them a foe, but they're definitely not helping us in our Christian walk when they water down truth and when they are willing to tell you what you want to hear instead of telling you what you need to hear. Let's pick up in the Bible here in 1 Kings chapter 21. At this point in time, Naboth has been put to death. He's been stoned to death just because he refused to sell. And as I mentioned 2 weeks ago, there are some things in this world we should not sell. We should not sell short the salvation message. We should not sell short the scripture. We should not sell short separation. It doesn't matter who's saying it. Doesn't matter if it pleases the crowd. Doesn't matter if it's truth. We should not give up on it. Look in verse number 17. And remember, it says, the word of the Lord came to Elijah. This was not Elijah's own doing. This was not Elijah's idea. This was God who was saying this. The Tishbite saying, rise, go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, which is in Samaria. Behold, he is in the vineyard of Naboth, whither he is gone down to possess it. And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus saith the Lord. Now, this once again is God's message. Now, who does Ahab call an enemy? He says that Elijah is the enemy, but Elijah is just delivering the message that God told him to deliver. He says, hast thou killed and also taken possession? So in this story here, Ahab not only has killed someone or his wife killed someone, he's also stealing here. So he's doing too great what would be considered sins and breaking the commandments. And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus saith the Lord, in the place where dogs lick the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick thy blood, even thine. Here, this is a prophecy that he's giving of a future occurrence that was going to happen, and it's because of the sin. Verse number 20, and Ahab said to Elijah, hast thou found me, O mine enemy? Now, once again, if you go back from chapter to chapter to chapter, God used Elijah to show the power of God through calling for a drought for 3.5 years. God used Elijah to show the power of God through the fire down from heaven. God used another prophet talking about taking those little different people that he had, soldiers, a small noun, in the few thousands, to go up against those that were six figures in the thousands against Syria. And over, God's been merciful, saying, God, showing Ahab, he is the one true God, showing the nation of Israel, he's the one true God. But he still looks and says, you're my enemy, Elijah, because you're giving God's word. Now look how Elijah responds. And he answered, he said, I have found thee. And now, once again, Ahab saying, look, you're my enemy. You found me out. I've done wrong. I have found thee because thou hast sold thyself to work evil in the sight of the Lord. You know, sometimes we feel like we struggle with sin. Sometimes if our old nature and our flesh, it seems like we can't have victory over that. But the Bible thankfully tells us in Romans chapter 6, we can have victory. We're not servants of sin. We have a choice. And sometimes we feel like we're stuck in a sin here, but it says here about Ahab, the description that Elijah gives, he says, you sold thyself. He's like, you gave over yourself so that way you could work evil. You were willing to sell your soul, in a sense, to do all these wicked things. You willingly gave yourself over to work evil in the sight of the Lord. And then here you see the punishment. He says, behold, I will bring evil upon thee. This is Elijah speaking from God, and will take away thy posterity, and will cut off from Ahab him that pisseth against the wall, and him that is shut up and left in Israel. So he's saying that he is going to wipe out his line, and he gives a reference to the people he'd done it to before. And will make the house like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha, the son of Ahijah, for the provocation wherewith thou hast provoked me to anger and made Israel to sin. And we've looked at this weeks before in the last few months about provoking the Lord to anger. And of Jezebel also spake the Lord, saying, the dog shall eat Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. Now, these are very graphic pictures that are here, but they are prophecies of what's going to happen. So people will realize that God is the one that has ordained this. Him that dieth in Ahab in the city, dieth of Ahab in the city, the dog shall eat, and him that dieth in the field shall the fowls of the air eat. But there was none like unto Ahab, which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel his wife stirred up. It wasn't because of just this one sin with Naboth that you see this punishment that was coming. It was a continually provoking the Lord to anger. It was continually selling himself for the wickedness, and his wife was stirring up the issues too. And he says, verse number 26, and he did very abominably in following idols, according to all these things as did the Amorites, which the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. Verse 27, you see something that's a little bit unusual here. You have not seen before from Ahab, really. And he humbles himself. And it came to pass, when Ahab heard those words, that he rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his flesh and fasted and lay in sackcloth and went softly. And we see there's four different things here. He rents his clothes, which is a sign of humility, put sackcloth upon his flesh, which is also a sign of humility, fasting, giving up food, and also lay in sackcloth and went softly. He was very careful and very humbly in his mannerisms. And we don't see that anywhere else really in Scripture. We see when the fire came down from heaven, he did have a good conversation with Elijah, but he really doesn't change what's going on. He doesn't repent of this. Verse 28, and the word of the Lord came to Elijah to Tishbite, saying, seest thou how Ahab humbleth himself before me? Because he humbleth himself before me, I will not bring the evil in his days, but in his son's days will I bring the evil upon his house. So he shows him mercy. Once again, he casts the judgment, but because Ahab humbles himself, he says, we're going to make sure it doesn't happen in your days, but instead of your son's days. Now, here's the thing that's a little different we're going to do than we do most weeks. We're going to enter into a new chapter, a completely different story, but it's going to prove the same point. We see, okay, well, Ahab, maybe he got right. Well, here in this story, you're going to see Ahab's opinion of the men of God have not changed. Let's read a little bit about this story, and I think you'll be able to pick it up easily. In this past 12 months, we have looked at this story, so I didn't want to spend a whole nother sermon on it, but there's important things in here. So, verse number 1, it says, and they continued 3 years without war between Syria and Israel. Remember what happened. He had conquered Syria with God's help. Verse number 4, and he said to Jehoshaphat. Now, Jehoshaphat was the king of Judah. He was a good king, but he was getting mixed up with the wrong people. He asked this question, will thou go down with me to battle Ramoth-Gilead? And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, I am as thou art, my people as thy people, my horses as thy people. Jehoshaphat was saying, we are just like you are, even though Jehoshaphat stood for what was right and Ahab was standing for what was wrong. So Jehoshaphat was compromising, willing to go to battle with someone who was not serving the Lord. Verse number 5, and Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. Now, this was something Jehoshaphat would normally do if they were going to get ready to go to battle. He would seek the prophets. He would ask God what he should do. And then it says in verse number 6, the king of Israel, who is Ahab, gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said unto them, shall I go against Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And they said, go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. Now, King Ahab had these 400 prophets. They were his yes men. They would tell the king whatever he wanted to hear. If the king wanted to go out to battle, then they would say, yes, king, go ahead and go out to battle. But here in verse number 7, Jehoshaphat, which was a person who loved the Lord and served the Lord in many areas of his life, he sees right through it. He says, and Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides, that we might inquire of him? So what he's saying is, look, I see your 400 yes men. He says, I don't really care what they have to say. Is there someone that can get a hold of God? And is there someone that can ask God whether or not we should go to battle or not? And look, and there's a response here in verse number 8. It says, and the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, there is yet one man, Micaiah, the son of Elah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord. But that next phrase, but I hate him. It was someone he knew that God speaks through, but he says, I hate him. And look what the reason. For he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. And Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say so. If Jehoshaphat was paying attention, he'd be like, I don't want anything to do with this guy who's going to say he hates someone who is a prophet of the Lord. But instead, he kind of passes over and says, oh, let not the king say so. Now go down to verses 15 through 18. It says, and it came to the kingdom, and the king said unto Micaiah, shall we go against Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall we forbear? And he answered, go and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. And, you know, Micaiah here is brought out of prison before them amongst this bunch of pomps and circumstance here. And he's told by the other prophets, hey, just go ahead and agree with us. So he just, he sarcastically tells the king, yes, the Lord's going to do it. Verse number 16, King Ahab sees what the prophet is saying. And the king said unto him, how many times shall I adjure thee that thou tell me nothing but that which is true in the name of the Lord? He said to Micaiah, I want you to tell me the truth. He didn't say that to the other 400 guys that he liked. He says, but you better tell me the truth. Verse number 17, he said, I saw Israel scattered upon the hills as a sheep. They have not a shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let them return every man to his house in peace. So what's being said there, that the king was going to lose his life during the battle. The leader was going to die. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, did I not tell thee that he would prophesy no good concerning me but evil? So the story goes along. He says, look, I told you. He's right. This man here, the one that I said I wanted to hear from God, I only wanted truth. He says, now, I told you he wasn't going to tell me anything good. Verse 26 through 28, and the Bible says, and the king of Israel said, take Micaiah and carry him back into Ammon, the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's son. And say, thus saith the king, put this fellow in the prison and feed him with bread of affliction and with water of affliction until I come in peace. So what has he done wrong? He's done nothing wrong. He's done exactly what the king asked. And the king asked for a word from the Lord. God spoke to Micaiah and he gave the answer. He says, when I come back in peace, I'm going to deal with him. Look at the response in verse 28. And Micaiah said, if thou return at all in peace, the Lord has not spoken by me. And he said, hearken, O people, every one of you. So he's talking to the group as they're leaving, the 400 prophets that are there, the kings that are there. And he says, now listen, if he returns in peace, then God has not spoken to me. Let's have a word of prayer and ask God's help this morning of this thought. Who is really your enemy? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for today. And thank you for the many things that we've already saw and heard and experienced today. And God, I pray that use the Holy Spirit of God to work through your word today and also to work in the believers' hearts and lives today about the truths of wanting to hear the truth and accepting the truth, but doing it with truth and love at the same time. God, we also pray for those here today that might not know you. Lord, we're asking that you send the Holy Spirit of God to convict their hearts and show them their need. What truth really is when it comes to sin and the punishment for sin. And Lord, that they would accept you today as their personal Savior and put their faith and trust in you and you alone for what you've done for them and what you've done for them on the cross. Lord, I pray that everything that's said today would be honoring, glorifying to you, and Lord, that it would be pleasing to you, and Lord, something that you would choose to use in the lives of the people that are listening. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so there's a couple things here, and I want you to think about the first thing I want you to think about, and we already alluded to a couple of them. The first thing is, look where the message came from. Look where the message came from. In chapter 21, verse number 17, we brought this thought out. It was the word of the Lord that came to Elijah. Chapter 22 and verse number 18, you know, the king was saying, I want you to tell me the truth, and it was from the word of the Lord. It came from Micaiah was asking for that in verse number 16, and it says, and the king said unto him, how many times have I adjured thee that thou tell me nothing but that which is true in the name of the Lord? So I want you to, as we're considering who was really our enemy, is to consider where the truth is coming from. What do you mean, Pastor? I says, well, if it's an individual that's telling their truth based off their opinions, if it's an individual that's telling, hey, this is how I feel, this is what I think, then, excuse me, then that's something we got to take in consideration. We got to accept that it's not really, could be wrong. Because of people's opinions and because of people's circumstances, many times they come up with their own opinions of what they think is truth and what they think is false. What Elijah here has done is he's gone to the king, not because he says, I don't like what the king has done, and I'm going to go approach the king, and I'm going to tell the king a thing or two in my mind, and it's my job to correct the king. Sometimes people do that. Sometimes people will insert their own opinions and do what they think is right, and they'll open their mouth and put their noses sometimes where it doesn't even belong. But that's not what Elijah does. Elijah receives a word from the Lord, and the word of the Lord was something that Elijah was told to go and talk to Ahab. It was truth. So if there is someone who is spoken to by God or speaking to you the truth of God, they're not your enemy. Now, once again, we can speak truth with grace. We can speak truth and mercy at the same time. Jesus was our perfect example. He was full of grace and mercy, but he also was full of truth. He did things in a gracious way, in a merciful way, but he never compromised the truth. I want you to understand today, if we're trying to look at, okay, who really is the enemy? Who is the individual that is not helping me in my Christian walk? Who is the individual that is hurting me in my Christian walk? We must first consider where the source came from. Because if the source is the Word of God and it's the truth of the Word of God, they are not my enemies. Even with the story, Ahab didn't like what Elijah was saying, but still Ahab listened to the message and became humbled and was by it. And God even gave him a little bit of extra grace there by saying, this is not going to happen during your time, but it's going to happen during your son's. But 3 short years later, we see that he's there and he wants to get back Ramoth-Gilead. If you go back and you remember, Ben-Hadad had promised that if he was going to let him live, he could have back all these cities. Obviously, Ben-Hadad had not given back Ramoth-Gilead, and he's there on the throne. He calls Jehoshaphat in, and they had this great meeting together, and they come together with this opportunity. He says, okay, let's go ahead and fight the Syrians and get this city back. It's an important city. Well, in the story, Jehoshaphat says, before we go, I want to know what God has to say about this. You know, he wants to know. So what is it they're asking? They're asking for truth. When people come to a church, what are you asking for? Many times it should be the truth. So the first thing I want you to think about, look where the message came from. If the message is coming from the Bible, if the message is coming from God, they are not your enemy just because they are telling you the truth. Second thing I want you to think about is, who was the true friend in this situation? Who was the true friend in the situation? He called Elijah an enemy. He said he hated Micaiah, but in all reality, it was Elijah and Micaiah that was telling him the truth that could help him in the future. You're going to always be able to find someone that will tell you what you want to hear. There is plenty of churches. There's churches pretty much on every corner in many cities. Now, unfortunately, when it goes into other parts of the world, like we think about Papua New Guinea and other places like Africa and things like that, there is not the abundance of churches like there is in America. But if there's something that you do not like to hear, you know what? You can just get up and you can leave and go to another church. And when they say something you don't like to hear, you can get up and just go and leave to and go to another church. And if they say something, you know, that's not how it works. That's not the way it's supposed to work. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 4:3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust, shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They're saying that because of their own desires and because of their own lusts, they will go to places and they will try to find the person or the individual that is going to make them feel good and give them the things that they want to hear. But if that's not truth, are they really your friend? Or are they somebody that's an enemy of yours? You think about it this way. Consider a doctor. If you were going to a doctor's office. Now, one doctor tells you you have cancer. They tell you the truth. You go to another doctor and they tell you they don't have cancer. They're telling you a lie. They don't want to tell you something that's going to hurt your feelings or make you feel sad. They want to tell you something, hey, you'll be okay. Don't worry about it. Now, the doctor told you that you had cancer. He tells you, hey, look, you have cancer and we can aggressively fight the cancer. We can take radiation. We can take chemotherapy. We can do things to try to bring it into remission. We can do things to get rid of that cancer out of your body. That's a doctor that is really, truly your friend. That's a doctor that's truly helping you. But if you had another doctor who was sitting there, read the same report, looks at you and says, you know what, that chemotherapy is really hard. That radiation's going to do some things to your body. You know, I don't want to make that person go through that. So instead, I'm going to tell them that they have a clean bill of health, that they can go home and nothing, they don't ever have to worry about it ever again. But the cancer is going to eat their body, and the cancer is going to cause them to die. So which one's the friend? Is it the doctor who tells you the truth that gets you the help you need? Or is it the person that is the doctor that says, hey, because I don't want them to go through those hard and difficult things, I'm just going to keep on letting them live the way they are, even though someday it's going to cost them their life. The true friend is the one that's going to tell you the truth. And here with Elijah and with Micaiah, there are people there telling the truth. Now, Ahab has his own 400 prophets, and these 400 prophets of Ahab were saying, yeah, go. They're telling him what they want to hear. I want to encourage you today. There is truth that's found, and it's in the Bible. You think about it. There are some people out there who will tell you that everybody's on their way to heaven. There's some people out there that would tell you that all roads lead to heaven. There's some people that would tell you that you can work your way to heaven. But those aren't found in the scriptures. So as a preacher, what are you looking for when you come into a church? Are you looking for someone to tell the truth? Are you looking for someone to tell you that we're all sinners and we're all in need of a Savior, that the Bible says that we should repent of our sins and that we should have faith in God? I mean, what is it we're looking for? Are we looking for the individual that's going to come and say, oh, you're all fine, we're all going to get to heaven anyway, so don't worry about it? That person's a liar. That person's an enemy of the cross of Christ. That person is not someone who is going to help you and show you the truth. Or you would you rather have the preacher that has studied the Word of God and seen the Word of God, like Elijah and Micaiah, that's saying, hey, you need to change your life. Ahab's 400 prophets, they weren't telling him you need to change, you need to do something. Instead, they were telling him exactly what he wanted to hear, but what he wanted to hear was going to cost him his life. Micaiah was saying, look, don't go out to battle. If you go out to battle, you're not coming back. Which one would you rather hear from? Would you rather hear the truth, or would you rather hear someone who's telling you what you want to hear, even though it's going to hurt yourself in the end? There's another thing I want you to think about here is... There are those who say they want the truth too, but ignore it when they get it. Jehoshaphat's a good guy, and we're going to look at him probably as we go through more of the different chapters as we continue on proceeding probably later on. But Jehoshaphat asked twice, can we find somebody to inquire of the Lord? He said it once, and then he heard the 400 prophets. He pushed them away, said, I don't want to hear those guys. I want to hear somebody from God. He found Micaiah, and he heard Micaiah's message, but guess what Jehoshaphat does? He still goes out and goes to the battle with him. It's not something that he says, okay, listen, this is wrong, this is bad, Ahab, I'm not going to yoke up with you because God has told me that this is not should not be done. You're going to lose your life here. But no, he turns around, he says, sure, I'm still going to go. It is sometimes when we come to church, and even when we're believers, even when we're good doing serving the Lord in many ways, we must remember truth is still truth. And that even sometimes when we hear the truth, we might not like it. Jehoshaphat wanted to partner up with him. Jehoshaphat wanted to kind of combine the kingdoms together. You see that from the way that their children's married. But that wasn't God's plan. That was not God's purpose here. And in the story, Jehoshaphat links up with someone who is wicked and someone who is evil. And he says, I still want to hear from God. And Christian, if you're here and you come to church week after week after week after week, and you say, I want to hear the truth. Pastor, preach the truth. Pastor, keep on... It's not been given so that way we can ignore it. God gives us the truth because it's something that we need. And you don't become an enemy of someone who's giving you the truth. They're there to help you. So I want you to think about there will always be those who get upset about the truth. And you think about it, Ahab here, he hears it. I'm requiring you. I want you to tell me the truth from God. But he still sends him off to prison. What did he do wrong? He did exactly what the king told him to do, and he still got in trouble for it. The Bible says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. I believe Elijah and Micaiah are Ahab's best friends right now, but he refuses to see it. There have been times in my life when I've had people encourage me with the truth, and I know I needed it. There have been times in my life when there were times when I needed correction, and I know I need it. Times when I've sat and listened to a preacher preach and preach the Word of God, even when Brother Olson was in the back and he was teaching Sunday school class, God spoke to my heart about something, and I was thinking, man, I'm thankful for the truth because the truth can encourage me, it can set me on the right path, and the truth can help me change things and put things in different perspectives. Now, I could have got angry and thought and could have said, you know, why would Brother Otteson say something like that? And once again, it wasn't something unusual. It's just how God worked in my heart. I could get mad at a preacher. I could get mad at the person that's giving me the truth and says, you're wrong. I don't want to ever hear from you. And I can push them away. But they're not my enemy just because they tell me the truth. Don't get angry and mad at an individual just because they're trying to give you the truth. You know, sometimes, remember, we got to remember who the source is at the beginning. If it's man's opinions, you know, once again, maybe we prayerfully consider about those. But if it's the word of God that they're giving you and it applies to your life, take the word of God in. Wisdom is the principal thing. We need to be careful that we get that wisdom and hold on to it and sell it not. The third thing I want you to think about is about what God responds to. What God responds to. And you see in the story, the message came from God, from Elijah and also Micaiah. You see that Ahab still chose to look at them as enemies. Last but not least, I want you to think for a second about what it says in chapter 21, verse 27. And it came to pass when Ahab heard those words that he rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his flesh and fasted and lay sackcloth upon and went softly. And God responds to this in verse number 28. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, seest thou how Ahab humbleth himself before me? Because he humbleth himself before me, I will not bring the evil in his days, but in his son's days will I bring the evil upon his house. There's a prophecy here. God is saying that I'm going to not allow this to happen during his days, and his days are going to be pretty short anyway, but it's going to be revealed during the times in his house. Because Ahab was humbled, God was even more merciful to him. And you say, Pastor, what are you getting at? God responds to humility. God responds to faith. God responds to humility. The Bible says, but he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. So if a person who is humble, that's God's unmerited favor he's willing to give to him. James 4:10 says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. And he's talking about if we are willing to humble ourselves before God and listen to God and listen to God's word, and even when others are giving God's word, there's nothing special about me as a pastor or as a preacher. It's what is being given out. It's the word of God that's being given out. If you're giving out the word of God, it's given. There's a power that's there. It's the word of God that's powerful. And the question is, will we humble ourselves underneath that? When we hear a message that's kind of pointed like this morning's, and then we're not apologizing for it and saying, hey, look, don't keep on looking for something else. Listen to the truth. Obey the truth. Don't be like Ahab. Say you want the truth and ignore it anyway, but instead accept the truth, believe in the truth, let it change your lives. God responds to humility. If we're willing to humble ourselves, the Bible says he is willing to give grace unto you. But before that verse, it says God resisteth the proud. There's individuals that are prideful that are saying, I'm going to do things my own way, like Ahab did, and even Jehoshaphat in some ways. And the Bible says that God resists those. He wants nothing to do with them. Resisting means he is against what they're trying to do. A prideful person is not someone God is going to be giving grace and help to. So this morning, are we people who are humble? Are we people that are going before God and saying, God, I know that you're God. I know who I am. God, I need your help. God, I need your direction. I need your leadership. I need a word from the Lord. So today, who really truly is your enemy? Is it the person that tells you the truth? I would say no. Now, do we always like to hear the truth? No. Do we always need the truth? We do. The Bible says in Proverbs 28:13, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Here you see in just a few verses, we see Ahab hearing the judgment of God, and he humbled himself, and God responds by showing him grace and mercy. And the Bible says if we cover our sins, if we pretend they're not there, if we try to cover them up, we're never going to prosper. But the way to try and find mercy from God is whosoever confesses, which means they agree with God, with what's going on, and forsaketh them, shall find mercy. What's the Bible saying there? If you truly want to have help from God today, we have to agree with God, which is what confession is, and says, you know what? That is sin. I agree that lying is a sin. I agree that what I'm looking at is a sin. I agree with the way I treat my husband or I treat my wife or the way I treat my parents. They are sins, and I agree with you, God. And that forsaking part means that I never want to do that again. I want to do my best with God's help. I am going to stop doing that. Many times when we get caught, we start like Ahab. He hears the judgment, he hears the punishment, and he humbles himself and says, God, I'm really sorry for what I've done. But you see, Ahab never changed, and his at least not for a long period of time, he never changed his view of the man of God or view of truth. He's asking, he's sitting there, I want to hear truth, but he's saying, I hate the guy that's giving me the truth. There's a lot of things we went over today and a lot of different chapters and a lot of different stories. So I want to try to bring it all together this morning with this thought. Are you right with God today? You know, truth is something we all need, something we should all desire. Should go to a place where you hear truth and something you can believe. Truth is not something you should sell. As we talked about, there's some things that we should not sell. Truth is something that we should desire and ask God for wisdom concerning it. Are we right with God today? Is there something in our life that God's spoken to our heart about that we need to confess and say, God, I agree with you. But then we also must forsake it. I think there's many times in a room we say, yes, God, I agree. I shouldn't be watching that. But tomorrow we watch the same thing. And that's not truly repenting of our sins. And also to those in the room that may not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior this morning, let me encourage you with this. Just because a preacher tells you that the Bible tells us that because of our sin, we're going to be eternally separated from God in a horrible place called hell, unless you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, doesn't make them your enemies. It actually makes them your friend. It's someone who cares about your soul, someone who loves God, and God's the one that loves your soul and preaches what God tells us to do. Could you go someplace that would tell you that you're okay, tells you that everything's going to be just fine, and gives some self-help and how to be a better individual and a better person? Then, yeah, you could go to places like that. You can watch plenty of them on TV, but that's not going to get you to heaven. That's not going to really deal business with God. So this morning, who is your enemy today? Or better yet, who is really truly your friend? Is it someone who gives you the truth and continues to give you the truth without compromise, even when sometimes is going to cause problems in their own life? If it's going to help you, yes. So why do we get upset sometimes with those that want to give us the truth? And do some people say it in the wrong way? Maybe. But truth is truth. Do we turn away from the truth just because we don't like it like Ahab did? It's going to cause problems in our life. So this morning, are you right with God today? Is there something you should get straight? Don't be like Ahab. Ahab says, man, I hate that man. He's my enemy. I hate what they have to say. Believe me, truth is important. And a person who speaks the truth in God's love is your friend, not your enemy. Let's go ahead and have everybody bow their head and close their eyes.